Good. Okay. I think, again, we're going to start discussing some of the Basra topics, not today, but on these shorter Mondays. I think I said originally Cheskes Tashmishim and a little bit of some of the, Yosef suggested some of the philosophy of Hezekiah, but maybe we'll switch off. But today I wanted to finish up the topic that I began last time, and also a bit of another topic that was suggested, an introduction to, you know, some of the other disciplines in halakha, specifically kachim. So I just wanted to speak a little about the hashkafa side of at least of it, with a little halakha put in. Again, last time that we met, which was 2 weeks ago, in Parshas, speaking about Parshas Noach, so I tried to explain the link between man's seemingly incorrigible, I guess, character, his what seems to be his spiritual deficiency on the one hand, and at the same time the securing of his future. Again, the psukim in Noach that we were talking about last time, where it seems very strange that the Torah tells us, "Vayarach Hashem es reach hanichach, vayomer Hashem elibo, lo sif lekalel odas ha'adama bavur ha'adam," and this seems to all be very good, but just 1 second. Can I call back later? Okay, thank you. The pasuk originally seems to be saying that you know, that this is a good thing. Vayarach esreach anichoach. This is a man has secured his future, and it's followed up. But it seems to be the opposite. Ki yetzer lev hadam rab bin urav velo sif od lahakosis kol chayis sharsis. I discuss some of the other perushim and their significance, but the suggestion that I was trying to make was that maybe the psukim mean exactly this connection, and that in the light of man's propensity, his capacity for you know, being a slave to his yetzer hara, in light of all of that, his ability at the moment of initiating a new world in the time of Noach to express his actual nobility and his capacity for greatness to overcome and to even channel the Yetzer Hara at that moment was actually all the more impressive. So the Rebbe Shlomo is really saying is, given man's rebellious nature and the challenges that he needs to overcome, given that, Vayarach Esreach HaNichoach, his ability at this shining moment and the tone setting of this new world to focus on other things, on self-sacrifice and that kind of, you know, I'd say more noble posture, is all the more impressive and secures his future, reflects on his potential, establishes that he really is B'Tselem Elohim, and is the reason why there'll always be a future. So what I was trying to explain was that this is expressed in two things. Number one, the voluntary restraint in terms of marital life, Seimen Ateva Atav Ishtacha, which is met by Vayetze Noach Ubanav Ishto Nishabanav Ito, separation, they're like a hesitation, a reticence, until the next time, until after these psukim, when the bracha is made more explicit. But more to the point, I wanted to connect it to the idea of karbanos. Vayarach Hashem Esreach HaNichoach, the idea of karban being the first thing that Noach did, and without a specific tzivoy. And I specifically wanted to link that to the Ramban's view, because the Ramban says that this is somehow connected, this act of Noach is somehow connected not only to the survival of the world then, but to the achievement of the ideal in the time of Matan Torah. That's what the Ramban says. Ramban says, "Vayomar Hashem alibo lo gila hadavar lenavi bizman ahu rak biyom tzavoso es Moshe b'ksivas haTorah gila ilav." This is not the view of most Rishonim, but the Ramban says that this this promise was revealed, it was suppressed and revealed at the day of Matan Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki kasher hikriv Noach karbano ala l'ratzon. So this idea that Noach's action all the way back then secures the future of the world, and that is connected to the day of Matan Torah, is a very challenging connection. But what I was trying to explain was that this instinct to bring a karban at that moment was the impulse that reflected, again, man's true capacity, his true potential for greatness as Tzelem Elohim. And that expresses itself in the ability to bring karbanos properly, vayarach esreach hanichoach. And that's not only relevant for securing the future of the world, but that's inspirational and a foundation for Matan Torah itself. That's really what I was trying to suggest. And if this is true, so karbanos as an idea and as an institution really emerges very centrally. And I tried to link it up also with the Ramban in the beginning of Bereshis, La'avda L'shamra, where he likes the view of the Chazal that the purpose of man originally was to be makriv karbanos. Adam was makriv karbanos. Cain and Hevel, as we know, things went wrong there, but they were makriv karbanos. Noach is makriv karbanos, etc. Karbanos represents this idea of self-sacrifice. So I just wanted to speak today about another dimension of that. This, of course, evolves in a significant way in the end of Parshas Vayera. The prominence of Korban as an idea and an institution is certainly reinforced by the episode of the Akedah. But there's a tendency when reading about the Akedah to sometimes downplay the Korban aspect of it. Unquestionably, partly that's due to our instinct and our sense of abhorrence of the idea of human sacrifice, which on a normative level is certainly something to be abhorred. We associate it with Molech and with Avodah Zarah. And consequently, when we read the Akedah, we have this, I think, psychological tendency to downplay the symbolism and the words which seem to point in the direction of a real karban. Instead, we downplay the link, or we view it purely symbolically, or we chalk it up to a mistake by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu misunderstood the Ravon Hashalom. Ravon Hashalom never really wanted Yitzchak to be a karban. He said v'haleyu la'ola. He didn't say anything about v'shachteyu. So it was all just a big misunderstanding. Of course, again, the Nisayon was heightened by Avraham understanding it that way. But maybe the Ravon Hashalom never even meant that to begin with in terms of his intent. Rashi, a few of the Rashis in the Parsha seem to point in that direction, where Ravon Hashalom says, listen, let's do Chazara, let's now go back and take all my different statements, and you'll see that there's really no stira. You get schar for not asking on the stira, and the Gurarye in his Parish on Rashi notes that the only time, according to Rashi, picks the Chazals, that the only time that Avraham Avinu begins to ask questions to be maharer achar midosav is when he's wondering, why shouldn't he do this? Are you sure you don't want me to do the shechita? Maybe I really should do it. But when it came to the, why am I doing this? Isn't it against the initial tzivuyim, against the human sacrifice? Avraham Avinu was quiet, and Guryari explains that, when it came to, against his interests, Avraham Avinu was silent. When it came to, something which appeared to be a break, something that was beneficial to him, so then he, was maharer. Are you sure this is what you want, Ribbono Shel Olam? Maybe we should go back to the Havan, which is an amazing idea. But if you look at the Rashis, you could walk away certainly with the impression that Avraham Avinu misunderstood, misconstrued. Maybe it was intended that he misconstrue, and maybe that was part of the Nisayon. But there never was a Hakrava Havamina, and certainly there's no real status of Karban. But the truth is, if we look more carefully, this position is very difficult from several points of view. Number one, the idea that Avraham Avinu got it wrong, per se, so wrong, is problematic. They report in the name of Reb Chaim that Reb Chaim thought that this was inconceivable. Avraham Avinu was a Navi. Avraham Avinu's instinct as an Ovid Hashem was infallible. And as such, if he thought that the original intention was for Yitzchak to be an actual karban, then there must be something to that. They say in the name of Reb Chaim that the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't change his mind, and Avraham Avinu didn't make a mistake. What happened was he said Haleu LeOla, and an Ola is Ton Shechita. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't say Shachet, as Bincha as Yitzchak. He said make him an Ola. But the normal halacha of Ola is one which also encompasses Shechita. So Avraham Avinu didn't make a mistake, and the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't change his mind. because he didn't say shkita behedja. If he had said explicitly shkita, that would have been a change in direction. And that's what the Chazal mean when they say that, you know, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo explained or clarified his position. Moreover, if you integrate that with what, you know, the Griz says, which is that the Akeda was a special act of hakrava, because normally there's no hakrava when the Karban is alive, right? With exception maybe of a couple of, you know, tenufa cases here and there, some exceptional cases, which are also a little bit different. But normally the Karban is nishkat, and it's the shechita actually which creates a shame Karban. And this is, of course, a very major principle in Kadshim, the idea that there's a Kedushas Peh, which creates one aspect of Kedushas, you know, HaKarban. But the Kedusha LeHakrava, and the real shame Karban in the Chafetza, is created by the act of Shechita. Again, a couple of years ago we learned Chulin, we discussed this idea in, you know, some length. Shechita really has two functions. It's the first of the Dalet Avodos, but in addition to that, it is the, you know, that's why it's v'zabachta. It's what makes the zevach, and what gives it, creates the status of kedushas karban, and the psul yotze and other things depend not on kedushas peh, but on the kedusha of the shechita lahakrava. So the Griz just points out that, you know, v'haleu la'ola, that Yitzchak was a karban, supposed to be a karban, but a different kind of a karban where the hala'a Alam Mizbeach was Mechayim, was also part of the Avodah Nakrava, which is unique. But he doesn't really say this part of it, but one could just take it a little step further. But with that, one can understand also some of the other differences. In other words, if Im Kvar there's a notion of Hala'a Al HaMizbeach B'toras Korban, which transcends Kedushas Pen, made Yitzchak already have Kedushas Cheftza Shel Karban, a Kedusha LaHakrava, so then the role of Shechita is different, because Shechita is no longer necessary to accomplish what has already been accomplished by the Hala. So this is just a way of trying to explain that, you know, Akedas Yitzchak, or this unique, you know, situation of Karban, is really viewed as a karban as much as possible within the pattern of karbanos, and the differences, you know, when you multiply them, they explain each other. Some of the anomalies explain each other. But either way, the fact is that there are two ways to look at, you know, these changes. One is it wasn't really a karban. The proof is that there was a din of halah, which there normally isn't, and it was mechayim, and ended up being no shechita. So it's all symbolic or misunderstanding, but we'll say, you know, better to say it's symbolic. Or no, these really are, just trying to show there are two tendencies in the Mefarshim, this is a real karban, and not only was it intended initially to be a real karban, but actually part of the process of hakrava actually took place. And the hala'a, mechayim, even without the shechita, creates a kind of kedushas, real kedushas karban. And if you look at Torah Shebichsav and further the Ramazim that Chazal and some of the later Mefarshim in particular picked up on, so there's a very strong tendency, I would say the predominant tendency, is to look at the exceptions from within and not as an indication that this is just a symbol, bialma. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Beis Halakha Aleph, as is well known, points to the Akedah and the earlier instances of Karban. Again, in a normative context, Hamizbeach mekoma mechuvan biyoser ve'in mishanan osam mimekoma liolam shenemar v'zem izbeach leola liYisrael ubemikdash ne'akad Yitzchak Avinu shenemar lechachal har el eretz hamoria v'nemar v'divrei hayamim v'yachal Shlomo livnos es beis Hashem b'Yerushalayim b'har hamoria shenir leDavid Aviu asher hechin mekom David begorin Arnon Ayvusi umasoret biyad hakol shamakom shabanabo David Shlomo mizbech begorin Arvona hum hamakom shabanabo Avram mizbech va'akad alav Yitzchak v'hu hamakom shabanabo Noach kishiyatsa min ateva v'hu hamizbech shehikrav al kain v'hevel v'bo hikrav Adam arishon kishenivra karban umisham nivra amru chachamim Adam mimakom kaparaso nivra. So again, the Griz in another place points to this Rambam to suggest that, you know, this Rambam isn't just about history. This is the Rambam's way of saying that the karbanos of Adam and of Noach, and particularly Avram's hakrava of Yitzchak, wasn't Betaras ben Noach, and it wasn't an Obama. It was a real, you know, styled after the real hakravas karban, b'mikdash, not b'bama, etc. And this is consistent with, I say, some of the Ramazim in Chazal, and especially some of the later Mefarshim. So, for example, commenting, the Ramban commenting on the Pasuk by Yivka Itzim Ola, says that this refers to why did he bring, you know, why did he cut these Eitzim and bring them with him? Why wouldn't he just, you know, encounter Eitzim along the way, or any Eitzim, and take them? Because the halacha is that only a certain kind of Eitzim are allowed to be used al gabe hamizbeach. If it has a toloim in the Eitzim, it's pasul. Meaning the Ramban halachasizes the psukim. He thinks that it's a reference to this halacha. The Meshechach Malatar, referring to the Gemara Menachos Daf Chav Beis, speaks about, again, the diuk, vayivka atzei ola, instead of, why did it say vayivka etzim le'ola? Again, the focus being on there being a requirement of lishma, or whether or not there's an additional requirement of kiddushas haguf, meaning, again, the Meshechachma, based on the psukim, is trying to plug the, you know, all the details of Akedas Yitzchak into the regular framework of karbanos. The Radak in Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Dalid sees Akedas Yitzchak as literally chinuch hamizbeach l'dorei doros. Ze hayadavar gadol v'asiba hashniyah lahoros mokom hanivchar sheibanu banav bayis l'Hashem u'mizbeach l'halos alav olos u'zvachim u'lechanech hamokom ahu b'nefesh ahuv hanivchar. Ki afa bishul anishla madavar v'lo nishchat harei hoya l'ratzon lefnei hakel ki ilu nasa v'nei hu'ala ala mizbeach v'nekad kaseh. So instead of emphasizing, you know, what might have been but what wasn't, there are a number of the Mefarshim, a number of the Chazals, who see not only was the original intention to be a karban, again, hinei ha'esh ha'etzim v'ayeh ha'seh la'ola. So the Meshech Chachma and others have a whole discussion. Yitzchak looked around, you know, and he saw the esh and the etzim, and he said, this isn't hakrava b'bama. Apparently, this is being treated like a real karban. Real karban requires bikur. Can't just pick up an aisle along the way. This is a real hakrava, and so on. Now, normally our tendency would be to say that there is a group of mefarshim out there who, in general, like to halachasize, you know, the narrative of Torah Shebichtav. And sometimes that makes a lot of sense, and sometimes it can be a little bit, you know, in the extreme. But in this particular case, it's not just that group. And it's much more mibusas, it's much more rooted in real makor. So you really get the impression, both from the psukim and from Chazal, and from a number of the mefarshim, Rishonim included, that this is really an actual hakrava. The pasuk says in the end of Yisro, "V'zavachta olav es olasecha v'es shlamecha," referring to the mizbeach, and the mechilta there discusses the question, right? Keneged ata omer o alav, right? You don't usually do shchita on top of the mizbeach. You do shchita in betzafon on the side of the mizbeach. And the conclusion of the mechilta, 2 days in the mechilta, whether b'dieved you can do a shchita on the mizbeach or not. But the conclusion is talmud lomar v'yasisa olosecha basar v'hadam basar v'dam al rosh mizbeach ve'ein shchita b'rosh mizbeach. So again, the question is, but what about Akedas Yitzchak? Right? And again, we could explain that, you know, there are differences here. The truth is that the Netziv, again, that mentioned the Rav Elbel, the Griz, says, this is the point, that there's a special din of Hala'a Mechayim Ala Mizveach, and that presumably, doesn't say this part, but that presumably could have impacted on the Shechita Al Rosh Mizveach as well. The Netziv has a very interesting comment, where he says that the only reason that a Behema is not nishkat al gabim mizbeach, or there's no din of halal al gabim mizbeach to begin with, is because or of a behema is not considered basar. And therefore, since the behema, when it's alive, has a skin, or so it's improper to bring it on top of the mizbeach. But he says, in the case of a human sacrifice, lu yitzuya, there was such a thing. The or is part of the basar. So that's why this is the norm. Again, it's Rav Elbel saying that's what's unique about this karban. The Nativ is saying it isn't even unique. If there were human karbanos, this is the way it would always be. But the driving tendency is the same, to say that this is a real karban. The truth is that the pasuk in Yisro that I mentioned, especially if you hold that even b'dieved you can't be shochet al rosh hamizbeach, is very misleading. So even if it doesn't mean rosh hamizbeach, it's only the basar v'dam and everything else, and the shechita is actually keneged, but it doesn't sound that way in the pasuk. So I always thought that in a certain level, what the pasuk is telling us is that even a lemaisa, you know, when it comes to, you know, again, you could explain this one way for the Netziv, another way for a velvel, but it doesn't really matter for the moment. Even though lemaisa, the shechita doesn't take place barosh hamizbeach, but the concept of shechita barosh hamizbeach was established by the Akedah as a principle. And therefore, there is a notion of shechita barosh hamizbeach. And even when you do the shechita b'tzad hamizbeach, maybe there's some notion of when you put finally the you know the basar and the dam on the mizbeach, that somehow that's a tziruf to you know what would have been that original of shechita barosh hamizbeach. The point I'm trying to make is that this is taken very seriously, and on I think all three different levels. If this ended 1 more minute, so I won't discuss them, all of them. But number one, as a havamina, that he was supposed to be a karban, not just loose symbolism, there appears to be a great deal of evidence that this is taken very seriously. But even more important, even as it unfolded, and Yitzchak is diverted, you know, away from the, you know, Rosh HaMizbeach, he's taken off the Mizbeach, the idea that he has a status of a Chatzishal karban, in some respects, appears to be a very popular view in Chazal. In terms of, he's the Ola Tamima, he can't leave Eretz Yisrael, that's his kutz, he can't marry a Shivcha because he has certain Kedusha as the Ola Tamima. This idea of Yitzchak being an actual Korban on some level is something which is very popular in Chazal. Moreover, and again, according to Rav Elbel, in some level, he really was a Korban, because not only the Kedusha's Peh, but he had the Kedusha La'akrava in addition. But there appears to be a third element as well. Not only the Havamina, not only you know his continued status, even though he wasn't Nishchat and he wasn't Nikrav, but he has the status of Karban, but the transfer to the Ayel is also a fascinating topic. The Ayel Basvach, which takes the place of Yitzchak, is viewed by some Chazals and some Mefarshim as a kind of Tmura of Yitzchak. And that's again how the Griz in another place explains the Gemara, when the Gemara says that Ephro shel Yitzchak was munach al gabe hamizbeach b'makom hamizbeach. So sugin zvachim da samach beis. So the Griz explains that that's because the ayol was a kind of a tmura for Yitzchak. So there was a kind of kiyum hakrovas ayol. Was a kiyum in the Akedah of Yitzchak itself. It wasn't just that, you know, they went a different direction. And again, there's some evidence for this idea. The Sfarno speaks about Tmura. The Medrash speaks about Tmura. If you take seriously these symbols, so what we're really saying is that Yitzchak, on a certain level, was supposed to be a Korban, on some level was a Korban, and even though the hakrava of the ayol in some way is meant to be tmuras Yitzchak. Okay, what is the significance of all this? So again, if it isn't just halachasizing the narrative, in this case it's much more than that. It seems to be more prominent even than that. So then obviously there's an important principle here. And that is that the Akedah establishes a certain ideal in Karbanos. It establishes that karbanos are not just something that you do, but that they're something that reflect, you know, self-sacrifice and surrender to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why you have all the special dinim of, you know, how you're makdish and lishma, the karbanos that go along with it, etc. and just conclude right now, just by noting the famous position of the Ramban, right? The Ramban in Parshas VaYikra, when he disagrees with the Rambam's definition of the basis for karbanos. So his own suggestion is that karbanos really focus on, you know, self-sacrifice, what is roi to have been. V'yoser roi l'shmo ha'tam sh'omer bohem, ki ba'avur sh'maisa b'ni adam nigmarim b'machshava b'dibur b'maisa, tziva Hashem, ki kasher yechta yavi karban. Yismoch yadav alav k'neged ha'maisa, yisvadet b'piv k'neged ha'dibur, yisrof b'eish ha'kerav ha'klayos shem kli ha'machshava v'ha'taiva, ha'kra'ayim k'neged yadav v'ragov shel adam, v'yizrok ha'dam al ha'mizbeach k'neged damo b'nafsho, Kadesha Yakshov Adam Basoso Kolela Ki Kota Lilokov Begufo Benafsho. Veroilo Shi Shafek Damo, Bi Sarev Gufo, Ule Chesedabore Shalakak Mimenu Tmura, Vikipera Karbanaze, She Damo Tachas Damo, Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, Rashe Avare, a Karban Keneged, Rashe Avarav, Vahamono Sahachios Behem Morea Torashi Spalu Allah, Vikarban Atamid, Shal Yisnatslu, Harabi Mechato Tamid, so I just think it's fascinating. This requires much more of an explanation, but in a way, the role of Akedas Yitzchak in all of this then becomes extremely understandable, right? Yitzchak was supposed to be a karban, and it's important that he be treated as a real karban, and that he continued to have a shame cheftashal karban in some dinim, and that the isle which took his place be a tmura, because this highlights in a very dramatic way the idea of general karbanos as a symbol of self-sacrifice, or at least of there being no limitation to the surrender that one is capable of when it comes to avodas Hashem. The idea of batel ritzono, ritzoncha rather, lirtzono. So in a sense, Akedas Yitzchak isn't just an anomaly and a symbol, but it really is the paradigm for korban behema. The reason that we abhor human sacrifice is precisely because the Ribbono Shel Olam, in his infinite chesed, made accessible to us a way of accomplishing the benefits of that, namely that total surrender, without the actual physical consequences, so that a person in his act of self-sacrifice can be inspired and live on and be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Okay, we'll stop here. Maybe I'll spend one more session on Hashgafa of Karbanos, but we'll stop here for now. Thank you.